Right, hello, it's Rob Watson, and so I'm going to get the guests to introduce themselves. So let's go right to left.
Okay.
So you are?
Yeah, so I'm Frances Deepwell, and I run Deepwell Arts in both Leicester and Oxford, but I'm based in Leicester, so it's very much the home of where I've been for the last 30 years or so. And a couple of years ago, I left higher education, where I was a senior manager and head of department, and I moved into arts and crafts. And I was very motivated to set up a place where adults could come at fairly low cost, so quite accessible, to relax, to be sociable, and to make things. So I'd done pottery for a long time, and that fell... So I fell naturally into clay and doing things with clay. But my vision was really to bring other makers into the space where I was working, to get people to try out new crafts, to revive old crafts, and rather than be just consumers of made goods, to actually be involved in the making and enjoy themselves while they're doing it. So open up the creativity. So that's a little bit about me.
That was expertly done. So Poppy, tell us about yourself.
So I'm Poppy Haritaki, and I run Harmonia Music and Arts. I am a piano teacher, and since 2018 I got this space where we have instrument teaching, we have violin and guitar, and I just wanted to bring more people, the community, to learn music, to participate in music activities, the early years, the older people. We're doing dancing, we're doing the arts with Frances, we are doing, we have the Greek community involved here as well, and we're doing Greek dancing and iconography, Byzantine iconography. And my dream, if I close my eyes, I just want to see people coming in and just being creative, having fun, enjoy themselves, themselves, and yeah, that's it.
So the question to start with, I think, is not necessarily what you do now, we'll get back to that. It's how did you get into what you're doing?
So I think I explained a little bit about that just earlier. So I left quite a fractured higher education system. I was quite disillusioned with the sort of processing of students through an education system, and the focus on numbers and the focus on targets, and measures that didn't really relate to people's personal development or growth, or realization of who they were in society. So, which I thought was part of what university was about. So I, very small scale, I set myself up with running very easy access little crafting sessions. I found a venue. I live in the West End, in Westcotes, and there's a venue that stood empty for a long time, which had a label on it saying it was an arts venue, and it was on the corner. People know it as the Chemists. It used to be Brennan's the Chemists for a long time, and then it was, for a short time, it was a estate agent's, and then it was empty. Very prominent position on the corner of Foss Road. So I pursued, and I hired it for a short time at a very reasonable rate, and opened up to people passing by to come in and do something. I started getting a bit of traction, and that was 2 years ago. And even today, people know me as, oh, you're the woman who was on the corner. And I'm not, because for the last 2 years, I've been here in Harmonia Music and Arts, which is the annex to the Church of the Martyrs community hall. And it's a self-enclosed space. It's operated independently of the community hall, so and run by the amazing Poppy, who's here with us. And I've just developed, based on interest and based on my own skills development, I've developed courses, classes, drop-ins, and workshops where people can just enjoy making, like I say, because again, the digital age, a lot of what I was doing was screen based in higher education. It was spending all day just pushing things around on screen, sending messages to people, getting replies, processing stuff. The creativity came in creating new bits of writing, then AI comes in, and even that's just, people are just using technology for absolutely everything, and kind of losing sight of beauty and beautiful things around them, apart from things that have been mass produced elsewhere. So I felt quite strongly people that I wanted to make things, I wanted to involve people in rediscovering the skill of making.
So where did your... What I actually wanted to know, when I heard you answered so eloquently, but what I really wanted to know was, where did your creativity start?
Oh, okay. So
what was the first time?
So my...
I was
inspired by a creative family, I think. My mother was an artist. She passed away, again, about 2.5 years ago now, and that... no, it wasn't that long ago. It was a year and a half ago, but as she was sort of getting more poorly, I was thinking, I've just got to carry on some legacy. She's given me such a wonderful start in life. So all my life I've done bits of painting, drawing. All my adult life I've gone to pottery classes on and off. So I've always found it a relaxing place. It's a place to create nice things, to... learn new skills, to feel competent at doing things. I do a lot of DIY as well, so, and I think the two things are kind of linked. I feel confident to do DIY because I know how things are constructed and that it's not beyond our own wit to make things.
Poppy, what about you? What was your creative journey? How did that start?
I think in a similar way, I have to be thankful to my family, because I had a cousin who was a musician and composer, and I remember, so like it's happening now, that he came one day at home and he said to my mom, "So when is Poppy going to start learning the piano?" And my mom said, "I don't have a clue. I don't know." She didn't have any clue at all about music. So he said, "Well, off you go. I'll go and order a piano, and the piano will come tomorrow here, and we're starting. You're bringing her there and there, and we're starting the lessons." But I also, I think, as I grew up in the high school, my teachers, if I didn't have the support and the encouragement of my teachers, specific teachers who just saw maybe something to me and said, "Well done, keep going, you know, that's fantastic, music is your thing." I remember I was running the choir, the school choir, and in a way I felt I was not the student, but I was the teacher, because I had the access, you know, I was closer to the teachers. The teacher said, "Yes, do this, do it, go for it," and I felt like I had grown up a few centimeters more. Yes, and at some point that all stopped, and then it came all back, you know, because of how life comes and goes. Yes.
So how do you describe and explain to people what your, how do you describe it, your aesthetic view is, your inspiration in terms of the creative style, the approach that you take? The mannerism, if you like, or the feeling that you are working with?
So for me, I think the style that I have is really one of just believe that you can do it. I think just it's not... I lean a lot towards the arts and crafts movement. So I bring a lot of their thinking into the kind of activities that we do. So natural products, trying to be natural, a lot of the sort of organic designs, use a lot of nature inspired motifs and stylized motifs that grew up in the sort of Art Nouveau era. So that's the kind of aesthetic that I project, but really I want people to understand or find their own way. A lot of For the pottery classes, for example, people come with templates that they've found, and I try, which are fine, but they're very much cut this out, stick this together, you've made this. And I really want people to start working more organically with the clay to help them discover what's the clay meaning for them. How is it actually shaping what their hands are doing rather than this sort of cutout that they've made? People have made wonderful things. They've been inspired by things they've seen on TikTok or Instagram, and that's lovely. That's really lovely. And people have then adapted it to make it their own, which is... that's an ideal for me. I think people should find their own aesthetic through what they're making and how they're making it.
What about you, Poppy? What's your style?
Well, I was classically trained. Nothing to do with improvisation, nothing to do with jazz, nothing to do with anything contemporary. Coming here in England, it was a whole new world that I had to discover. So through my teaching experience and in my work, I want my students to discover music as a language. So I want them to know the ABC of that language so that they can read by themselves, understand by themselves, and then they don't need me. Then they can pick up a book like we do in any language and play anything they like, and then they'll discover themselves, their journey. So being here, I developed my composer flair that came up, popping up. And I think I'm more towards the minimalism yes, movement. We had a very beautiful little exhibition back in February where Francis created clay items and I created the music. And the idea was that people will interact with the clay items. They'll produce sounds, and I played along my music, and it was an improvisation and inspired by a specific theme that I did at the beginning, and just see how that goes. So, yes, that is something that I would like to explore more.
And that was a really special moment, actually, and what's great is that it's recorded and it's on Instagram, isn't it? It's on... You've got a real...
On YouTube, on yes, YouTube. We have it yeah, on so YouTube.
On YouTube, and it's just so lovely because we had a lovely audience who moved around the different installations and did, as Poppy say, they interacted with it, they made the sound, so we had bells, we had chimes, we had bits of wood, and it was just lovely. Mm. And Poppy was accompanying them, and it was the to and fro was just wonderful. And Poppy's own trademark clay phone, which is like a xylophone, but with clay, really stood out. It was just a lovely event, and we want to take that further. So we've started to do these small artistic collaborations, which has been great. So I'm not just a resident in the space. We are collaborating. We're doing joint projects together since I've moved here, which is just wonderful.
I'm interested in the idea of emergence, which is when things come together that you can't predict what the outcome is. So it's things are more than the sum of their parts. So you take, what is it, H2O, what's that? Two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom, have I got that right? And there's nothing about those individual atoms that tell you what water is going to be like and what it does. And that artistic, aesthetic experience is you bring a piece of work and a person, you bring the clay, or you bring the instrument and the person to it, and you're going to produce something. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what the world that we live in now is quite prescribed. Yes. About it should be like this, you should do this, and you kind of touched on that. What's that process like when you're working with people to nudge them away from that predetermined, prescriptive kind of approach and to go a little bit more creative?
So I think the emergent... nature of working with the materials that I work with. So I work with polymer clay, which is a colourful substance, and it's a little bit unpredictable because the colours will merge once you start mixing them and blending them in a way that is a bit unpredictable. And the objects people make, when they come into a session, they don't know what they're going to make. People come really without any idea, or they may have seen something which is either very unrealistic because it's a highly advanced production, you know, method, or it's something which it's not really expansive. And I do try and get them to think. I show examples of what I've made. I show examples of what other students have made as well. So I usually have some images of other people's work as inspiration. And the same with clay. I think giving people the confidence to know that clay making is a process. It's not a rapid process. And if you make something, it doesn't have to remain. You don't have to keep it. We can reuse the clay. They don't have to go forwards if they're not happy with something that they've started making. I've got a regular group on a Tuesday evening who've been coming for over a year and a half now. There's some people changing in and out, but some people have been there throughout. And I can see the progress that they've made, their confidence in working with clay, their assurance about the kind of objects they want to make, and the methods and techniques that they're using. So they're upskilling themselves. And all I'm doing is going around and just prodding them a little bit this way, a little bit that way, suggesting tools they might use rather than the ones they've just randomly picked up, showing them how they can elevate what they're doing into something that's beyond what they thought they were starting with. You know, they can create textures, they can do different surface level designs on their clay works at different stages, rather than having to be done by painting a glaze on at the end, like the pottery painting studios. That's just painting on a bit of ready-made clay. So all of what the students make, I would say, has been inspired by an initial desire they've got to produce something of a certain type, and then shaped by gentle guidance and, you know, taken beyond.
How does that compare with music? Because are people's attitudes to music as an expressive form of art, they're different from physical forms?
I think everything starts with the opportunities that are given when people are young. What I mean is that with my students, I always have 5 minutes in the lesson where I'll say, now let's mess around the piano. Do you mess around the piano? And they look at me, and maybe not, because as you said before, everything is prescribed. We have to do this, we have to sit like this, we have to talk like this. It's, you know, we have to have a certain behavior. So exploring and just exploring the sounds with just it's fantastic, and I'm trying it with my adult students as well, but their things are a bit more challenging, so I have to be a little bit more creative and still make them improvise or mess around the piano without understanding how they're doing it. But I think it's the essential thing, because then you discover your creativity. Then you discover something that you never knew it existed, a sound or a print or yes. or something.
I'm just reminded, so we ran an Easter art club with young people. I generally work with adults, but we were keen to support local children, so we ran an art club at Easter. It was just 4 mornings. And it was amazing. We had 16 local children coming, and we were introducing them to quite advanced creative arts. And I was giving them a framework to let them explore those things. So printmaking, mosaics and clay. And I think it was, I suppose it was surprising to me how constrained their use of art materials had been up to that point for them. So in the curriculum, they do art, but it's very restricted. So we were using gel plate printing, for example, and it was just an amazing event, really. And at the end of the session, we got them to frame a piece of their print. So they'd produced, you know, 5-6 prints each, because it's quite a rapid process. And then we got them to choose, make a choice, what would you frame? And we framed them, and we took a little photo of the exhibition of what they'd made that morning. And that's where I think it's emergent. They were realising that what they make has value, has aesthetic value. They've learned to make choices about what's good and not good about what they're doing. So that was a real strong sort of learning point for them. What I was hoping to do here, which has taken a while to develop, is to do a sort of students' exhibition. So that's something I'm looking forward to doing, because some of the items that people have made here have been exceptional. And not only because they could be judged as aesthetically all round lovely, but because they are expressions of people's creativity in a way that I don't think they felt they were capable of before they started working with me. So that's what I want people to show.
There's a sense that we overthink and there's too much technique and too much process often involved, whereas actually what we might be more, it's harder to do, is to convey a feeling, and the idea that if you want to tell somebody how you're feeling, share with them a photograph or a piece of art, because it conveys something which you can't put into words. What's it like when you have people, you know, that you're working with, and they make that switch from thinking about what they're doing to exploring the feeling that it kind of encapsulates?
It's a wow moment, isn't it? And exactly as you described it, there are moments that I will play some of the sounds, of the lower sounds, and I'll make a story. And you see the children, which they have been doing it exactly the same way, but I will describe something. I'll make it to a story, and you'll see them like, something has happened. They understand that feeling, and they say, oh, wow, what happened? How? And say, now your turn. Keep going in the story. Let's see what happens next. And it's fascinating to see.
And what I find lovely is that when I'm running a workshop and people are really absorbed in their making, it goes quiet. And you've got a group of, you know, 8-10 people here, and they're just all entirely absorbed in what they're doing. But they're doing it together. So there are casual kind of chit-chats and so on, but it's just a sort of magical moments of just group absorption in individual making, which is lovely.
It's that sense of communing. Mm. You know, we talk about community a lot, and we talk about it in a kind of artificial way, whereas actually when you get those moments where people do come together and get lost in, silently lost in something, how do we support that, and how do we ensure that, because it's very fragile, and it's not something that typically gets put into government or local authority or arts funders' strategies. How do you maintain that level of, what's the phrase I'm looking for? You're looking at it, it's quite fragile, and it's not laid out, it's not specified. It's tacit and something that exists between people, but it's difficult to support.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things is feedback from students. So I've not been very good at getting that feedback documented from students, but they do say all, you know, repeatedly, this has been amazing. this is the highlight of my week. You know, I've been waiting to come here. It was just amazing. It's not just me as a teacher. I have other teachers who come in and do other specialist things. So-and-so was just fabulous. It was, I felt so relaxed. I've had a hard week and this was just the tonic I needed. You know, all of those things come through the feedback. So that's one way to document that kind of communing, that kind of positive well-being impact. And a lot of the funders are looking for well-being. And you're right, it's very difficult to put it down in tangible words. But I think the feedback from individuals and the... I suppose the way that people spread word of mouth about what they've experienced here, that's the other way. And both Poppy and I get that. We get lots of people recommending others to come and get involved.
And how far afield do you draw people from? Is it strictly neighbourhood or is it from lots of other places? International.
almost that close. Yeah. No. Here we have people coming from Nottingham. We have students from Warwick. That's, I think, the further that we go from Loughborough. And from the wider area, not so much from the local streets. We have people coming from the local streets, but further away. And I think all the years, the word of mouth was the main thing for me. And last year, I was determined that I will get reviews, we'll do it, we'll get them right, everything down, we have feedback. And when they did, it was amazing how they described that is their experience is life changing here. It was very, very beautiful.
What are you looking forward to coming up? What have you got planned?
What have I got planned? I've got plans to we're going to adapt the space that we're in. So we are hoping to... We wanted to expand the space that we have. We haven't been able to, so we're going to make some adaptations because I'm sustaining multiple crafts in quite a small reused space, and it's also shared with Poppy's fantastic endeavours, which are things like Greek dancing, so she needs a big open space. There's the... sort of children's groups that meet here and they need a sort of clear open space. So there's all sorts of multiple things going on here. I do mosaics, which need their own kind of space. I do the pottery, which needs its own quite large space because we've got lots of drying space as well as making space. Over the summer, this summer, we're going to do some reorganisation to try and make the space better. We've got two lovely music rooms here, which, you know, are to be preserved because that's what makes the individual music lessons here so special. You've got a kind of hideaway, so you feel like you're just on your own in the classroom where actually everyone around can hear what you're doing. But in the short term, that's what we're doing. I think Poppy and I are looking at future collaborations. We are hoping to take our exhibition, Music and Clay, on to a different venue and adapt it in a more participative way, even more participative. We had hoped to get an exhibition up in the cathedral, but we weren't successful with that one. So we're looking to take those collaborations further. Personally, I want the studio here to be a destination pottery studio for people locally. Most of my people are relatively local. I have people coming from Cosby and Lutterworth as well. And it would be nice if the people locally knew more about what goes on here. So that's a challenge for me. And to keep the prices affordable. Pottery is not a cheap game, but I am trying to keep my prices down and do other things that are aligned, which enable people to have a go.
What about you, Poppy?
Yes, I'm hoping that we'll have a very busy year ahead as well. With all these changes that will happen here, I think they will help us to, as I say always, it's a tango. It's like we're dancing tango. One step back, the other one forward. And then you can feed 1,000 people in here, perhaps, maybe. Yes, I think it's going to be very exciting. You will see from Harmonia Music and Arts and Deepwell Arts lots of things coming up.
And we're keeping an eagle eye on the development with the Foss Arts building. So down on Mantle Road nearby, huge resource, a huge facility, which needs investment. And I think the council have agreed to sell it or pass it on. So there is a social enterprise network that are looking into how to take that on. And I think it would be a lovely home for us if it had the right refurbishment and investment to make it worth us being there. Because I think what we add in terms of music, dancing, creative arts would absolutely fit into that space very well. We're both independents, so we're not aligned with any other organisations. So we've got the freedom and flexibility that allows us to respond incredibly agilely to new ideas and new demands. We love emergent thinking. We're both impulsive in terms of we see a good idea and we want to go with it. And that's what's made this collaboration really successful so far.
So before I ask you where can people find out more information, is there anything that we've not talked about that you wanted to say specifically? Because we can always do another conversation at some point as well.
No, if you want to come and visit our shop, we have a little shop which is depleted at the moment because I'm going to a couple of events like the Clarendon Park Festival on Queen's Road on the weekend and one of the makers markets that's coming up, so I've taken things out of the shop to show there. We want to hear from other creatives who might want to get involved in doing things here. We've got a fairly full programme here and we're a little bit constrained on the times we can run things here because of what else goes on in the building. So we're doing our best with maximising what goes on and we just welcome people to come in and have a look and see.
So how do people get in contact with you both?
I think there are two websites they need to remember and mark down. One is harmoniamusicandarts.co.uk and the other one is deepwellarts.com. And there they can find all the information about us, about the space, about the classes we offer, upcoming events, to see past events that we have done, exhibitions, everything is there. And yes, they're very welcome to just come and visit us and have a look in the space. And yeah.
And Poppy's got a call out at the moment for more music teachers.
Yes, I do.
So she currently does piano, guitar and violin. And so any other music teachers would be very welcome to connect. And I'm currently looking for interesting other creatives to come and do some workshops. And if anyone's interested as well in running a after school club for an art club after school, they're very welcome to come and talk to me here as well. We're both on Facebook. We're both on Instagram.
Wonderful. And I'll put the links to that on it as well.